It's me, Yel. I'm coming to you at the beginning of the episode because I have an announcement. I need to take the month of June off from new episodes. Please don't be mad. I will still be posting on the Patreon. If you miss me that much, come hang out there, punch up the jam. I need some time to finish. Are you ready? Can you hear this? My record. I need to finish all the prep for releasing my record with my brother, and I'm very excited about it. So I'm going to take the month of June off to do that. I haven't taken time off in a really long time, and I do need it for my brain. And if you're worried at all about musician in residence, Rob Moose, not having a residence, not having anything to do, of course, I'm pleased to announce he will be busy. That's a drum roll. Getting ready to have a baby. Sorry, I get so excited. So go wish him a congratulations, please. I'm not going to leave the feed totally empty. There may be some re-releases or some special things posted in the interim, but otherwise, I will see you all or talk to you all, whatever, in July. And I can't wait. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
3, 2, 1. Okay. Actually, I'm glad you brought this up because I was just thinking for this episode specifically, it's perfect because I realized what my laugh sounds like. Are you ready?
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hi. Hey. Welcome to Punch Up the Jam. This is my favorite episode I've ever done. My name is Miel Bredo. We're supposed to make the greatest hits even greater. I don't know how that's possible today. With me again, Chris Fleming. Thank you so much for coming back. Hi.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
I'm trying to calm down. It's not going to work. I got so jacked grabbing the clips for this episode.
You broke your MacBook, right?
I smashed it in half over my knee. I don't know what cocaine is like, but I have a feeling it's not even 1/10 of this. Oh my God. Okay. I would first of all like to say to the listeners, if this is your first episode, maybe try a different one first. This is going to be unhinged and I won't apologize. I have been dying to discuss this song since the moment of inception of this podcast. And now having you here, it means I can finally just do something I want to do. It feels like my birthday, except I don't have to get older.
Yeah, this is your party, Miguel, and I want to be here and help facilitate it. I am your chaperone today. That's all I am. I'm your guide. You do whatever you got to do, okay?
Oh my God, thank you so much. Can you please guide the ship? Because I'm going to positively lunge off like the Titanic.
I don't really know the reference. What was the Titanic?
I'm so glad you brought up movies because of course, thank you for the segue. Of course, the song we're discussing is Eye to Eye. If you can't hear what I'm saying, it's the letter I, the number 2, the letter I. Yes, those I's are lowercase, so they don't look like L's. It is from the original Disney feature, A Goofy Movie, which just if you want to feel old, just celebrated its 25th anniversary. There's no reason in the world why a song that slaps this fucking hard is buried in a Goofy movie, and yet it is, alongside the other song from this movie that slaps so hard, Stand Out. Do you know these songs? Were you familiar with them before I said you had to learn it for this episode?
No, I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, in most movies, when there has to be like a hit song, they're not actually like songs that would ever be hits, but somehow these are, I mean, the Desperate Synth is just, it's too much for me. That synth is trying to stop a wedding in the beginning.
I know why these slap so hard. The research I did today truly blew my mind. I feel like I have uncovered a giant conspiracy theory I'm very excited to share. But before I get there,
you
I kept tell you
faxing
a few
me.
Things.
You kept faxing me documents at 4 a.m. today, saying this is much bigger than bigger than you and me.
Okay, my patron Alexi Belcher says, oh my fucking God, this song changed my life. I mean, technically it was Stand Out, the other song from A Goofy Movie. Pretty sure I wouldn't be a musician if not for that moment when Max busts through the projection screen and turns to static. High art. Also, Max was such a dick to his dad.
Well, that's an interesting point. Dana. Was it Dana?
Alexi.
Sorry, Alexi. So Max, fill me in, Miel, because
so
I...
So Max...
Max is the son that he has a worship disorder, right? He's Goofy's son, and he worships, like, his whole room in the bathroom are plastered with the likeness of this celebrity, right?
And you don't know his name. His name is Powerline.
Wow.
Powerline. Okay, if you haven't seen a Goofy movie, you do not need to have seen it to understand that this song is God tier. However, just a brief synopsis, it's about Goofy, the character, and his son Max, who I found out in my research today is voiced by Jason Marsden, who also voiced, get this, Thackeray Binks from Hocus Pocus. You are discussing two of my biggest crushes my childhood.
You saw Hocus Pocus, the Bette Midler story?
Basically, Max and Goofy have a tried relationship and they go on this incredible road trip. It's a very fun movie that I feel like in the Disney catalog is very slept on and is obviously a Broadway adaptation waiting to happen. But Max worships this Michael Jackson, Bobby Brown, Prince amalgamation figure named Powerline, who is so hot, and tries to win over Roxanne, who is also so hot, by impersonating Powerline. Powerline plays a very important part in the story, and his songs have to work both for Powerline's narrative and Max and Goofy / Max and Roxanne's narrative. So the songwriters had a bit of a challenge in writing these. However, we're not talking about a Goofy movie. We're talking about the damn song. I have so many notes I need to get to. The song is sung by Tevin Campbell and Rosie Gaines, who until today I just thought were maybe like really great singers they grabbed for this. However, there is a reason why this song is so good, and this is the tip of the iceberg. Tevin Campbell was Prince's protege.
What? Okay, it sounds like he sounds like someone I would pay to go see in an arena. Like, he sounds so freaking sexy.
Wait. It gets so much better. Okay. He was discovered by Quincy Jones. Rosie Gaines is a former band member of Prince's group, the New Power Generation, and duets with Prince on Diamonds and Pearls and the live version of Nothing Compares to You. So already the Prince crossover is pretty severe. It makes sense this song is so good. They got two people who work with Prince, right? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'd also like to point out at this point that this song does not have a Wikipedia page. So I had to do some deep diving.
You're on JSTOR.
Thankfully,
yeah.
There is an interview on Slash Film with everyone involved in making this song that just came out April 24th of this fucking year. Tell me that wasn't made for us.
My God. Please continue.
So from music associate producer Bambi Moe, I was at Capitol Records at a session for another project, and I heard this singer singing in another studio. That singer is Tevin Campbell. I said, oh my God. I knew that in order to get Tevin Campbell to say yes to sing the songs, the tracks themselves had to be at that level. So who's in the Prince camp? Maybe I can get a hold of Prince's producer that would do the trick. Sure enough, that was David Z. So David Z has worked with Prince from the beginning of his career. He produced all of Purple Rain. He produced Kiss, a bunch of other shit. He produces this song.
Wow.
Prince's actual producer completely produces both Standout and Eye to Eye.
Did he not know what it was for?
No, he did. Okay, listen.
So David Z was a huge Goofy stan. I'll do anything for Goofy.
Songwriters Patrick Deremmer and Roy Freeland send David Z their MPC files. And I just wanted to include this because it dates it so severely. On a floppy disk.
Now we're talking. Okay.
And David Z brings in Paul Peterson, a.k.a. St. Paul, a.k.a. another Prince discovered artist and frequent
AKA
collaborator.
Nurse practitioner floppy disk. Yep.
And they record all of the tracks for this song in none other than Paisley Park.
No.
A.k.a. Prince's home fucking studio.
No.
Yes.
Right off that barren highway in Minneapolis?
Yes, this is effectively a Prince song. This is why this song is
that's
so
why
fucking
it's so good.
Good.
No, that's absolutely it's got that Martika magic on it. That is insane how anything he touches is just good. Like
Prince himself didn't even touch it. It's just Prince's collaborators. He was such a good curator of talent that they were able to put that same magic into a Disney song that I feel like only a cult following of people even know about. It is so fucking good.
Oh yeah, no, it's an e-brake song. And when I say e-brake song, I mean it's the kind of song that if it's on the radio and you're driving in a highway in in Ohio and you start losing the radio station, you pull the e-brake.
Yeah, you will kill yourself, your passengers, and anyone else on the freeway in that moment because this song is so good. That's the power of this song.
Because you want to keep hearing it. It is really, really great.
Okay, I have one other tidbit that's going to positively blow your mind. I think you might want to take a big sip of boba before I tell you. Do you know... Mm-hmm. When I was trying to find who engineered this, because this information was very hard to find, do you know who else I found engineered Purple Rain?
Sorry, one boba piece did go right down the chute. I sucked a little too hard. So it went down pelican style, like a nice trout, flopping down. Now just in my xiphoid.
Your time. You're going to need it for this detail.
Okay.
Do you have any guesses? We just talked about him on this podcast.
David Tickle.
It's David Tickle!
No, fuck off.
Yes!
You leave David Tickle out of this.
I can't believe you guessed it. David Tickle, we just discussed in the What's Up episode, the Four Non Blondes song.
It's the only thing I have written on my wall. Of course I guessed it. Wait, you're telling me that Tickle had a hand in this?
Tickle had no hand in Eye to Eye or Stand Out. It's just that Tickle and David Z worked together, and David Z worked on this song.
Oh, my God.
I know.
How many clippings do you have taped up on your wall right now that just lead to a nucleus of a David Tickle image?
There's so much red thread on my wall, I think I'm not going to get my deposit back.
Could you rename this podcast to the David Tickle Hour? The David Tickle Show, starring David Tickle?
Okay.
Wow, that is a lot.
We're starting at 11. We're only going to go up from here. I'm telling you, I was clipping this alone in my apartment, going on week 10 of being alone by myself in my apartment, and I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this episode alive. I'm not. This will be the episode I die on air. We should film this.
Holy shit. I'm on the dark net right now. Do you know who wrote the lyrics to this song?
Who, Chris?
Lee Harvey Oswald.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's the end of the show. Good night.
Good night.
Are you ready to get into it?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I just dug a hole.
I thought I could not wear a bra because I'm at my apartment. I'm not seeing anybody, but it turns out I need to wear a sports bra to tape this episode. It hurts.
What really does it is those Home Depot bucket drum that comes in.
Oh my God, the gated reverb, the flanger. I mean, like, they just produced the shit. They just went full tilt 80s production and it works for me. And then Tevin, yeah. Oh my God, he sings his fucking ass off. And it's just, he's not even said anything. He said, yeah. And already I'm at 1,000%.
His voice is so freaking pure, too.
God, he sounds like he's 10 years old and he's at least 20 in this.
There's like no, when you look at a recording of your voice, how it's like, I don't know if vibrato is the right thing, but there's all those waves because it's like moving. His is just like a freaking line.
It's just a chode of a waveform.
Yeah, it's an absolute chode. Yeah.
It just starts so hard immediately. Once that ticking clock, like the synth riff itself already goes. It goes to fucking Antarctica and back in the first 15 seconds. But then they bring in the bass, just a little taste of what's to come. And then his voice comes in before those drums that for some reason are 110,000% louder than the rest of the song. And I'm not upset about it.
Well, and they take that confident pause too after the dun, 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 dun. They run a quick errand.
Confident Pause, by the way, is my husky body confidence film I'm working on. By the way, when I say husky, I don't mean like a body type. I mean a dog.
No,
thank you.
I know.
Like a Malamute.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just had to get that out before we get into verse one. Okay, here we go. Got myself
This is like absolute 94.7 The Wave stuff. Like, I want to hear Pat Prescott playing this.
How dare you? This is better than 94.7 The Wave could dream of being.
I want to see Pat Prescott playing this at Spaghettini Grill on the Sunday Wave brunch is what I'm talking about. It seems like it's been...
There'd be a riot. The tables would be... what's the drink called? I can't remember. There'd be mimosas spewing out of everybody's noses. It'd be a fucking absolute pandemonium if you tried playing this at a brunch.
Yeah, you're right. This is a nighttime song.
This is a nighttime exclusive. This song, if you want to listen to this song in public, there's going to be a lot of destruction of public property.
It's hard to... Yeah, it's hard to listen to the song and not build a pool.
Oh, his voice too, those little runs he's doing, just a little taste of what's to come. Oh my God, and Rosie, I can't, okay, what he said.
Wait, what does Rosie do on this?
Oh, you are gonna know when Rosie comes in. It's gonna move you in a way that's gonna convert religions. Oh, he said, I've got myself a notion. It's one I know that you'll understand. To set the world in motion by reaching out for each other's hands.
Okay.
This is a real We Are the World lyrically, but you would never know because musically he's seducing me.
Well, I mean, lyrically, I don't think lyrically I'm feeling much with this yet. Yet, just what you told me, and nothing really related to, I didn't really feel much, but the feeling that Tevin is giving me, I can get on board with. But lyrically, I feel it's a little benign right now. Just at this moment.
It kind of has to be because A, it's a Disney movie, and B, again, they're trying to write something that works in the context of power lines seducing people on stage and simultaneously a song that makes sense to like encapsulate Max and Goofy's reunion at the end of this movie. Sorry, spoilers, they work it out. What if the movie ended with them becoming estranged?
Doesn't Goofy have an abusive brother? Like the giant man?
Roofy?
His name's Roofy?
I'm kidding. No, there's no abusive brother.
Okay.
Chris, come on.
Sorry.
You're thinking of Max's friend's dad.
That's right.
Who I believe is from the Miyazaki universe. This character looks very similar to Totoro to me.
He looks like the villain in Mulan.
Oh, okay. I also feel like this is absolutely sacrilegious to be cutting the song into parts when all I want to do is listen to it, but whatever. Here goes the pre-chorus. Maybe we'll discover what we should have known all along. I'm so sorry.
Don't do that. I'm so sorry.
I have to at least pretend we're analyzing the song just so it like I can talk about this in the context of this podcast, even though obviously we're not. Can we discuss his voice? Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's like one of the best voices. It's like, why is he not like a gigantic star? I don't understand.
Disney really fucked up by not like franchising Powerline more. Like, what are they doing?
I love the name Powerline too.
I would go to the Powerline tour and just like I would pay $100 to watch Powerline perform two songs and walk off stage.
You did just sound like a child using $100 as the maximum. $100 is the highest number you could conceive.
We don't all have that boba manifesto money, Chris. Oh, relax. Oh,
I'm out. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. Goodbye. Good riddance. Thank you for nothing. Can't say it's been a pleasure. I'm done. I am finally done. This is it.
Actually, quick pause. Go watch Chris's Boba Manifesto music video. Thank you so much. Also, get on my Patreon. Thank you so much.
Please keep going.
I also want to comment on how tight this songwriting is in terms of just trying to write like a conventional pop song. Like, they wasted fucking no time changing sections. They gave us like a sweet 14 second verse, a sweet 13 second pre-chorus, and now they're going to give us a 22 second chorus. Like, they really are just like, I think the game here is just to keep people engaged by changing sections constantly. And then with David Z producing, oh my God, this is like even... A child and an adult can bond over this song. It's like when you first saw Shrek, you know?
You know, David Tickle's really good about that with his tunes. It's like he just kind of gives you the EpiPen even before you're showing symptoms.
Just to reiterate, David Tickle has zero to do with this song.
Why are you telling me? What did you tell me about David Tickle for that? I don't understand that.
Just that maybe, he worked with David Z, who did produce this song.
I think that David Tickle is just a looming ubiquitous figure in your podcast now.
I might have to have David Tickle on the pod now.
good luck getting to him.
You guys, let's get a trending hashtag, get David Tickle on the pod.
David Tickle is leading zipline tours in New Zealand right now for cheap. David Tickle is doing Hey Mister work in Cleveland.
I might pass out. I'm going to have a vasovagal response listening to this chorus. Okay, here we go. If we listen to each other's eyes, oh, yeah, we're never too far apart. And maybe love is a reason why. For the first time ever, we're seeing it eye to eye. Oh, the guitar.
Oh, my God. I feel so good. I've never felt good like this.
I suffer from clinical depression. I have long, horrible, depressive episodes. And when I listen to this song, even if for a moment, I feel fucking fantastic. This song is the best drug ever invented. I stand by that. Drug Association, quote me, try prescribing this, see what happens.
I just bought so many beach balls on Amazon right now.
1,000 milligrams of Powerline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's sensational.
You can weather any storm, I'm telling you. Rosie Gaines. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I heard Rosie on that doing the koala baby on Tevin's back.
In the 44-second outro, Rosie positively gives herself a hernia, and it is worth it for the effect it has on my body.
She tries to lift the studio equipment.
Oh, my God. Rosie flipped the mixing board. Rosie ate 40 floppy disks.
Hey, Rosie, put the disc down. She was making it rain with floppy disks. Wait, play it. Can you play that part again?
Yeah, of course I can play that again. If we listen to each other's
eyes, oh yeah, we're never too far apart.
And
what's that?
It's the bass. It's the bass. It's the bass. Oh, wow. Great call. That is a super plucky guitar. That's like a direct Kiss-inspired guitar. Like... That actually sounds like the sound your computer makes when it's trying to read a floppy disk.
That's a proboscis. That's... Oh, my God. That's Tickle's proboscis coming out in the studio.
Again, David Tickle, not in studio.
Okay, but this can I... Okay, sorry. David Tickle wasn't there, but they opened the window for the da-ba-da-ba-dum. His proboscis came in. <Da-ba-da-ba-dum>. They were like, shut that window, it's Tickle.
I'll tell you the chorus lyrics, although they're not going to do anything for you because the lyrics to the song are simply generic as hell. But if we listen to each other's heart, we'll find we're never too far apart.
So they share a heart.
And maybe love is the reason why. For the first time ever, we're seeing it eye to eye.
Yeah, Hammurabi's code.
And again, if you can't hear in the way I'm saying it, the letter I, the number two, the letter I, which is, if you're wondering, a direct reference to the way that Prince titles his songs, as in nothing compares to you or I would die for you. They were deeply trying to be Prince.
Hey, Mia?
What?
Do you mind if I took a quick snooze?
You're going to need it before we get into verse two.
Okay. I'm going to go. Yeah. Good night.
Okay, bye.
And we're back.
Oh, you're awake?
Yep.
Are you ready for verse two?
Yep.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Is the synth line just, it's just Jump by Van Halen though, right?
Oh, no, it's not. But I see what you're saying. Let's play that. Yeah, texturally, they're kind of similar. As opposed to... I think this one's better.
Oh, it's way better. It's way richer.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be the Paisley Park, like, whatever synth they had there, right?
No, you're right. That's the Van Halen ones. That's like a Buffalo Wings synth. And this one is way smoother.
Do you want? I'll hold if you want to think for another restaurant that's better.
That's more of a Buca di Beppo synth.
I feel like it's a Maggiano's at least.
Yeah. So don't be in a hurry. Think before you
get on the side. Oh. Oh, my body! Ah, oh, something happened. Every liquid in my body just poured out. Ah, I'm empty. I'm empty. I'm a deflated whoopee cushion.
She needs Gatorade, folks. Now, now, now. Please.
Ow, that run. I need to listen to it again.
So don't be in a hurry.
That rear view mirror smash right there. That's the thing. It's like there's like random ass percussion choices too that are just really making it work.
I don't think they're random. I think this is just so expertly produced in this like extremely hack pop way that it's just like, all right, if we're going for it, let's fucking go.
No,
for
but
it.
I don't think it's hack. I think it's like, I think there's some weird ass choices though that makes it like, I think that's what makes it pop for you and for me is that it seems like it should be like hugely popular, but in like a kind of, that's kind of sounds kind of bizarre kind of.
Yeah, no, they're like the textures. It, I mean, especially if you compare it to a Disney song,
right?
This is like by far the most interesting Disney song I've ever heard. And it's not like, I'm interested to see what Rob has to say on this episode, actually, because I don't know musically if this is interesting at all. This might be totally benign. I sense some syncopation, but like outside of that, I don't have any idea what's happening. It just, the production is so fucking incredible. His voice is so fucking incredible. I mean, even the lyrics are like, no offense, guys, but like not the best. And it still works so well. I mean, I guess they sound great. I'll give them that. You know, sometimes lyrics like kind of meaningless, but just the sounds in terms of purely listening, like the rhythms and the vowels really work.
Yeah. You know what this song makes you want to do?
Fuck and dance at the same time.
It makes me want to get fucked up on virgin strawberry daiquiris.
Oh, brother. You know I'm a teetotaler. That's my whole life.
I know you're a teetotaler.
When I go absolutely ham at the bar, I drink like, ooh, I don't want to say it. I feel like at least 15 Shirley Temples.
Oh my God. Shirley Temples used to be all that got me out of bed from like 96 to 9. No, earlier than that. 92 to 96.
Listen, if you're having some self-isolation blues or better yet, like, I mean, worse yet, honestly, if you're having to like work your ass off right now and having those blues, I would suggest a stern diet, no exceptions. Every morning, start the day with a 20-ounce Shirley Temple and 3 listens of Eye to Eye. See what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
It will make things worse, however, different. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, and then get a blindfold and roller skates.
The natural progression.
Get a GPS, a blindfold, and roller skates. I wish I made this song. Is really kind of why I'm in a dour mood right now, because I wish that I had this in my catalog. Even though I'm not a music producer or singer, I'm like, I want to be singing this.
Oh, there's so many things I want. I want to be Tevin Campbell. I want to be David Z. I want to be Goofy. I want to be Max. I want to be Roxanne. I want to have sex with Roxanne. I want to have sex with Max. I don't understand.
Oh, God, they're teens. They're teen Irish setters.
You have to understand, I was a child when this came out. So when I'm saying that, I'm still a child. And also,
you're in your early 40s right now, though, Miguel.
I'm 46. And the fact that you first said they're teens and not that they're dogs is a little upsetting to me.
I said they're teen Irish setters, right? Isn't the whole community just a bunch
that.
Of
sorry.
They're a bunch of fucked up Irish setters in the community, right?
Yeah, I think I always had them pegged as like penned. Yeah, sure. I always had them penned as
in your journal.
In my mind, they're just like the like non-denominational hound from like 1930. Remember when like there weren't really breeds? It was just like a hound.
Yeah, for an old man to die with. Totally. Yeah,
precisely. Yeah, that's goofy. But then also he's a widower, which I feel like a hound widower doesn't really make sense.
Wait,
to me.
I know you didn't want me to talk about the movie at all, but you did say something earlier that really concerns me. And that is that Goofy's wife went. It's implied that his wife went missing in some kind of.
No, I think she's dead. I think she's dead.
Didn't you say she was brutally murdered in the intro, like Midsommar style in the beginning of the... Didn't you say that? What's Goofy's profession in the universe?
Goofy is a photographer at like a Sears.
So Goofy's a single dad.
Yes, Goofy is a single dad doing his best to raise his son, Max, who, by the way, when I first used to watch this as a child, I was like, Goofy's such a dick. Like, let Max be with Roxanne on spring break. Like, why are you being so rude? As an adult watching that movie, Max is an ungrateful little shit. Goofy is the best dad there is, trying his absolute hardest, and Max doesn't appreciate any of it. I want to fight him.
I want to thank all my followers. Goofy's the best dad there is.
As a gift for cutting you off the first time around, by cutting the pre-chorus and chorus. I have left you the end of the pre-chorus into the chorus, which means, of course, I won't be able to stop to dissect Rosie's incredible run here. They add a bar for her to just go positively off. Are you ready?
Yes.
You don't have to worry.
I had to cut that because then it goes to the next section. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. No, that was enough. That was enough to get it started. I'm feeling good.
Rosie just took me to church, straight to heaven, and then pinballed me straight into hell. I just have gone around the entire galactic universe in that moment.
Rosie just hit my head against my own thermostat, but bought me a Nest to replace it.
I believe they added actually two bars or so no one comes for me. Ramus, just kidding. But I do love that they added a break. They were like, no, pre-chorus into chorus. It was too quick the first time around. Let's edge you a little bit with the sweet stylings of this absolute wizard of a woman screeching in the best possible way.
And that
Nothing's
rhythm
goes. Gonna stop us now. Like, oh my God. I'm sweating. Every pore of my body is positively dripping.
Wait, there were multiple gospel singers leading right into the chorus, though.
The background vocals on this song, oh my God, listen. I mean, they're super layered. I wish I could find the stems.
It's incredibly moving.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing. Anytime you add like a kind of choir of vocals, it's going to have a strong impact. But when the melody's jumping up like this, that the chorus already hits so hard and the production. The Slash Film interview also details like how they had to make this. And I guess like they had to choreograph based on real people. So the dance, right. The dance at the end of the film is very human, whereas a lot of the rest of the movie, like Goofy and Max are like falling from rafters and exploding and falling off cliffs and shit, obviously non-human. But I think they wanted to make sure that the end sequence was cliffs.
Okay, sorry.
No, literally their car goes over a cliff and they land in what I think is the Grand Canyon, if memory serves.
Right, and Goofy's Goofy gets pretty fucked up from it, right?
Goofy gets like straight up electrocuted. Like, if I recall, I think we see his skeleton for a moment.
And he begs Max to kill him.
Okay, now we go into, I guess this is the bridge, but it's tricky because we get like this bridge section, then we get the solo, and then we get like another pre-chorus that's a different section, a B section, where it modulates if you're ready. I've separated them into three sections to identify them. So this is kind of the bridge of this really cool backing vocal section. I just did a line of pop rocks.
I feel like I'm on vacation with Rosie Gaines right now, living well.
Both my legs are asleep, and they're both full. They shouldn't be. Physically, it's impossible for this to be happening right now.
Isn't it weird that you can hear, like, very, very faintly what you were describing, Goofy telling Max after all the terrible things that have happened to him physically in the movie, that he's beyond repair and that he wants Max to finish the job?
I'm busted up. I'm busted up, Max. Send me back to hell, Max. I never asked to be born. I'm fucked up, Max. Max, I don't see the point. After all the terrible things, I don't know where my fucking wife is.
Okay.
I want to
finish
come
the job. Okay. Finish what God started. Finish what God should have done years ago, Max.
You're drifting in and out of the impression.
Just put the Volvo in reverse, Max. Hey, Max, you see that? You see that circuit breaker?
You have to stop. Okay. Okay.
Close the garage door, Max. The coyotes will will take it from here, Max.
Chris, it's not funny anymore. Okay. I'm physically not okay. Ah, we have to play that again. Listen to the way that guitar walks up.
Ah! Oh, yeah. Well, you know what that is? In the hiking boot store, you know how they give that, have that little pyramid, that tiny little like depressing triangle that you have to walk up to like test out the hiking boot?
Yeah.
That's what that is. Play it again. That's me and my dad running up and holding hands. Play it again.
Take it from the top.
One more time for the one more time for the listeners at home. I feel like in Paisley Park, they have the confidence to like take, like to have those moments of stillness, you know, like that, that takes such fucking confidence. What they, or maybe I was listening, maybe it was fucked up through the earpiece that I was listening to, but like it kind of, it's like stops for a second, right?
I was taught that that's called prosody, but I think my teacher might have had that wrong. It's where the lyric informs the music.
Ooh, what's that called?
It could be wrong. My teacher may, I don't know if he was the best, but prosody.
Oh, that's what that tattoo I have means. Oh my God.
I'm actually really relieved they gave us the guitar solo, because at least for me, at this point in the song, I need a break. Like, I need an air guitar dance break, because I've been doing a crazy Running Man this entire time and singing.
I disagree about the guitar solo, and that might just be me, because I don't know if I've told
you. You don't want it?
This might be like a condition I have, but I've never liked a guitar solo, and I've also never liked a city skyline. I feel nothing about the two of them, and those are two very popular things that people seem to be really into. Myself, I feel nothing.
Oh, you're not like the other girls, huh? That's what you're
not
saying right now.
I'm not. No,
I wouldn't say it's like, I wouldn't say it's like my favorite part of the song. However, I needed a respite. I needed a quiet oasis in the middle of this otherwise absolute EDM rave. You know what I mean?
You needed some time away.
Plus, they're about to hit us with a modulation. I know. Gave you the whole modulation into the chorus. So this is 30 seconds of unadulterated joy. God, I need to listen to that run again. I'm sorry, I did actually faint briefly.
I feel very manipulated by that.
With the modulation?
Yeah, but I'm happy to be manipulated. Like, yeah, I feel like a marionette, but I'm consenting to be a marionette.
I think that is the Disney influence. I would guess, just guessing here, David Z probably wasn't inclined to do a modulation, but probably Disney was like, it sure would be great to have one.
I mean, it's very satisfying. In the American Eagle part of my brain is very, very relieved right now. And I feel like I've achieved something.
Actually, I would love to take this opportunity, because when else will I ever have a segue like this? I have never gotten over the fact that at the end of different Disney song, Part of Your World, it doesn't modulate at the end. I always expect her to go, bright young women, sick of swimming, ready to stand, I'm ready to be where the people are. Every single time, I think she's going to do that.
But it's because she knows she has like 15 seconds of lung air before she needs to go back, right? So
do you want to try that one more time? Because you did just say lung air.
Yeah, let's try that one more time. Say it again.
I don't think either of us have recovered from Goofy begging Max to kill him. Do not do it again. I can't handle it. I'm out of Lara bars.
Fuck you. Okay. I mean, fuck Max. Okay. Look at me.
No. No.
My own friends won't recognize me.
Did you?
Finish it.
Stop. Did you? Oh, did you read that thing? That thing. Did you see this thing? Went around. This thing went around, this meme went around recently of saying that Goofy is 8'2". So it kind of gives it is way to the idea that he might want to die. That feels really tall.
Yeah, so that's an uncomfortable height.
He must be
height.
In pain all the time. Yeah, that's gigantism.
Every moment must be a unique hell for him. 8 foot every two. Movement.
I can't even rent a car, Max. Finish me.
Oh, stop. Finish the song. Okay, this is the last part. It's 44 seconds.
If you crack the moonroof on a Hummer, maybe.
If you rent a limo and he lays down in the back, maybe.
A stretch Hummer, yeah.
Okay, this is 44 seconds of just Rosie screaming in a way that, again, you're going to meet your maker. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Sorry, I know I was going to play the whole thing. I have to hear Tevin's run one more time before we get to Rosie. Is going to come over here and be like, are you okay? Is everything okay? Deirdre. It's not okay.
It might just be the quality of the headphones, but as I was listening to that it did sound, it did kind of remind me of when I used to substitute teach kindergartners, and I had to teach them gym. And one class just was 45 minutes. I lost control somehow, and the entire class of kindergartners was just screaming, chasing me around a gym for 45 minutes. And
I don't think you lost control. I think you're an anarchist, and you designed that to happen.
I mean, no, one of them started chasing me.
I think it started because you probably enticed toddlers with candy and said, "Oh, you want this? Chase me.
How dare you?
You gotta chase me.
No, one just started. If something starts chasing you, you're gonna run if they get close enough to you.
Stray Sharpay? No, you're not gonna run, Chris.
You're just gonna let a child. Like, what is the child? What is the plan? What are they gonna do? I start running a little bit, and then the other one, they start sniffing my weakness, and soon there's like maybe 40 kindergartners chasing me, and I'm running non-ironically for 45 minutes until they had to go to their other class.
And what? How is that relevant?
That's what it sounded like. All those people. Just like Rosie. People screaming over each other. It was chaos.
Rosie and Tevin are absolutely having a sing-off. He's like, and she's like,
Rosie and Tevin are just playing Scatch in Paisley Park.
What the fuck is Scatch?
I'm glad you asked. So when I was young, I couldn't catch a ball, and my mom was really worried about me. And so three times a day, we would have to do this thing that was called Scatch, where she would, it was a Velcro disc that you would strap to your hand.
I had one of those. It was called Scatch.
And then they would throw it, and if I could catch that thing three times, then I could go continue living my life.
It was like a Velcro paddle.
Scatch does sound a little venereal now that I say it out loud.
Oh, that's the song. Oh, wow, that's the song. I don't know. I don't know if I've actually ever been more excited to hear Rob Moose's assessment. I swear to God, if he says he doesn't like this song, I think I'm going to have to... I'll continue letting him do the segment, but I will not be his friend anymore, unfortunately.
I think I'm going to predict he's going to say he's pleasantly surprised quite a bit.
Oh, my God, I hope so. Okay, let's find out.
Okay. My initial reaction to a song that sounds like this is to run in the opposite direction. To me, it's kind of hokey, that sweepy, pitchless intro to the whole rhythmic unison thing with the synth and bass playing that little two-chord riff as time is suspended. I'm sure these sounds were real cutting edge for the time, or at least for Disney, but all the icy overtones and filter sweeps and stuff, and that fretless bass or whatever, it's just kind of tough to listen to. Then the drums come in and kind of flatten everything out, so we go from cheesy, angular statement over negative space to like amateur workout video feel in 5 seconds. And to cap it off, we've got the screaming guitar entering with the too wide vibrato and the excessive long slides. Is that sexy? Is that just exuberant? I don't know, but it all feels really bright to me. I guess one thing I kind of like about the intro is the way the drum pattern is a little bit varied. Like the first backbeat snare hit is on 2, and the next one is on the end of 2, which makes the return to 2 for the third hit feel kind of early because the other one was later. So there's at least a little deviation in what otherwise feels like a super gridded and predictable experience. But not so fast there, Moose. Did you notice how all the chords in the chorus are just bounding and coming earlier and earlier? That's what's known as a push. They're basically syncopations, but it's kind of where your downbeat sort of moves over an eighth note, so you're always anticipating the beat. This type of rhythmic move owes a real debt of gratitude to gospel music, but because we're dealing with a Disney movie here, this song was definitely written by two white guys. Yay! They seem to know what they're doing anyway as far as cultural appropriation in the pre-internet age goes. And say what you will about Tevin Campbell, including who is he? But his voice is more than up to the task of belting this out. Side note, I've never heard anyone with that fast of a vibrato in my life. There's one thing in the chords that I want to point out, and that is the use of G over A toward the end of the chorus. They've been playing with this combo since the beginning of the song, but the way they land on this chord here is much stronger, and I want to explain why it's such a special chord. So, the top of the chord is spelled out as simple G major, but the root or bass note is an A, which is very much not in that chord. I like to think of these two elements as sort of shielding each other or maybe hedging their emotional impact by borrowing from each other. It's a move you'll hear a lot in soul music. I learned about it by listening to my very favorite singer, Donny Hathaway.
'Cause I love you, baby.
Here's the chord.
Oh, I love you, baby.
One more time. Normally, artists use this device on the final chord of a sequence to help get us back to the home chord, known as the tonic. In that sense, you get to have your cake and eat it too as a listener, because the main chord move would be 4-1, which gives you a plagal cadence, which you'll recognize as an amen-sounding thing. And the bass note function gives you a 5-1 or dominant cadence, which you might recognize if you think of Happy Birthday. So if you combine those two feelings, it sounds like this. For those of you that are absolutely riveted by this sort of thing, you can try it in reverse as well. Play A over G, and it sounds like this. Good night!
Robert? Christopher Moose. I have never felt more betrayed?
I know. I'm too depressed to actually even do a Rob Moose impression right now. I don't want to.
You know what I think Rob needs to listen to? The lyrics of the song. Rob, I'm not seeing eye to eye right now. I'm seeing B to B, which is to say butt to butt, as in I'm showing you my butt because you showed me your butt by mooning my favorite song.
Yeah. Ever heard of Hammurabi's Code? It's a butt for a butt, Rob.
I understand what he's saying, though. I mean, I know that this is not like a technically good song. In fact, it's super cheesy, but that's kind of why I love it. You know what I mean?
I did close my eyes and pretend that he was singing Happy Birthday to me during that.
I really appreciate he's willing to do something like this. I mean, like, he's a classically trained musician. I understand it takes more than like a fun pop hook to catch his interest.
I just felt hurt by all of that.
Did it feel very personal? Yes. Am I going to have a stern text with him after this? Yes.
For some reason, I thought you said a stern breakfast with him after this. Yes.
With no mask, where we share a fork? Of course.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we got it. Did we get her? Did we get her saying that?
I'm going to have to do things a little differently this episode. You'll find out in 1 second. Uh-oh. Before we get to the punch up, we first have to go to Unpunchable Jams.
We can't punch this.
You go first. What's your Unpunchable Jam?
Live in La Vida Loca by Richard Martin.
No, Chris. No. Veto.
I know. My Unpunchable Jam for this week is Crying on the Bathroom Floor by Muna.
I love love to get more Muna on the playlist.
I adore Muna.
Okay, are you ready for my Impunchable Jam?
I absolutely am.
I'm a Devin Campbell and Rosie
Gaines! Oh my god.
That's right, I'm not doing a fucking punch on this song's perfect!
Oh my god!
Suck my dick, Robin!
Oh my god! What are you doing with those torches? Stop! Oh my god!
That's me, bitch! This is my podcast! I'm changing the rules!
Where do those ravens come from? Oh my god! Oh my god! Why are you...
I would never try to punch this song up. Are you fucking kidding me? Ever. It's sacrilegious.
I was so stressed thinking about having to do that during this whole time.
No, this is a great excuse for us to just to get to listen to this song and have a great time. And if you don't like that, then what the fuck is wrong with you? Don't come for me. This is a good idea.
Hi, Michelle. This is the head of HeadGum Studios. We want to say thank you so much for your time at Punch Up the Jam. But after this week, refusing to do a punch up, unfortunately, we will have to let you go. And Chris and Chip Fleming will be taking over the podcast, and the new name will be Goodbye Meow and welcome back, Chip Fleming, to discuss every week Hocus Pocus, the Bette Midler story. Thank you so much, everybody. My guest this week is nobody, and I'm going to watch it, the film.
And not talk.
Did you just suggest talking through the movie? HP? HP TBMS?
Oh my
God. See you next week on my new podcast with HeadGum Features.
I hope everyone liked this episode as much as I liked making it, Chris.
There's going to be, on my new podcast, there's going to be a video feature, but it's going to be claymation me growing. So I'm going to be watching Hocus Pocus in real time every week, and it's just going to be me silent, but I'm going to be growing ever so slightly that if you were to time lapse it and speed it up, you could see, wow, oh, actually, that guy's growing. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much for coming.
If you want to check me out, I'm at Meow and Meow Monster. The Patreon is Punch Up the Jam. All sorts of fun perks on there.
And I'm at Lauren Lapkus. Thank you all so much. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Her name's Lauren Lapkus. I would think you would know that.
She I never said it out loud.
Fantastic comedian with a bunch of HeadGum stuff. Also, if you want to check out Chris, again, he just released a music video. It's very funny, and he looks weirdly seductive in the whole thing. Highly suggest checking out the Boba Manifesto. We'll see you in July. Bye!
Good night.
Okay, that was...
Touch the jam.
Touch
the jam.
Hey!
Touch the jam.
Touch
the jam.
That was a HeadGum podcast.